Good morning, you're listening to Galway Talks with John Morley. If you want to get a comment into us, do so on our text and WhatsApp line 086-38-33-553. Phone Siobhan reception on 091-77-0077 and email comments at goibayfm.ie. Just some of the comments coming to us. Does John Lennon think anyone that wants to come here should be allowed to settle? No questions asked and no rules apply. And how would we manage with services? And just another one that just caught my eye in relation to the Connacht final. There won't be a child washed in Mayo on Sunday, so says this listener. So if you have any more comments like that to come in, do. It's brightened up my morning, that one. Now, though, I'm joined in studio by Councillor Noel Larkin of Independent Ireland. Noel, good morning. You're highlighting this situation with Uisce Éireann. You want them to upgrade their current treatment plants or to build more because the current ones are at capacity. And this has implications in terms of planning in the city.
Yeah, good morning, John. In recent times, I suppose, we've known since Mutton Island was built, and that's quite a while. There was a lot of controversy over Mutton Island being built, but now it's at capacity. And even I've heard that there's overflow during really wet weather. So if we're serious about building houses and having the infrastructure in place, we need to be looking at building a new wastewater treatment plant now, not in 5 years' time. And as we know, the government has committed to building 25,000 houses, I think, every year for the next 10 years. Mm. Where is all this infrastructure going to be in place? Mm. And you know, Ardwan is an area behind the Galway Clinic, between the Galway Clinic and the motorway, the M6 motorway. And there was plans, since I got into the council in 14, there was plans to build a new estate out there with up to 4,000 houses with all the shops and infrastructure in place. Mm. And there's still nothing happening. And at the recent planning meeting, we're saying, like, why can we not progress this and get planning on it and get started on it? And they said, like, that the Oran Moor pumping station is at capacity, and the one in Well Park, beside where I live as well, you'd often get smells out of that, like, where it's obviously under pressure as well. Mm-hmm. So now is the time to be planning this, not in 5 years' time. So if we're serious about housing, social and affordable housing, we need to be planning this ahead now, not in 5 years' time.
And what is the stumbling block here? Are Uisce Éireann unwilling to build more or improve plants, or are government unwilling? What's the issue?
Yeah, I suppose it is down to finance? Obviously to build a new wastewater treatment plant is going to be hugely expensive, but the government needs to put the funding in place, and then Irish Water needs to get on board. They rebranded their name to Uisce Éireann. Mm-hmm. So it's like they spend a lot of money rebranding instead of just getting on with the job. We need a new wastewater treatment plant in Galway, and to find a suitable location is going to be time-consuming without ever building the infrastructure itself. Mm. So I really think, like, that they're dragging their... If the government are telling us they're going building 25,000 houses, and presumably we'll get 4,000 or 5,000 of those in our city because we're the third largest city in Ireland, how come we're not putting the infrastructure in place now? Mm. How come... Like, if we were serious about Ardwan, as we do, as we've seen in Germany, if they're going building a house estate in outside any city in Germany... They have the roads, they have the footpaths, they have the lighting, they have the sewage, they have everything in place, and then the houses come on board. Mm. We have none of that.
Are there other larger planning issues at play here, though? Because I know we talk about the Galway City Ring Road, etc., etc. Mm. Are there other issues in that area that might be stopping the building of new plants, etc.?
Not that I'm aware of. We know about the outer bypass, and that's a totally different subject. There's planning issues on that, and hopefully in the next while that Ambroath Pernall will come through with that. But I think, like, everybody needs to get their heads together on this. All the government departments, the planning departments, Ambroath Pernall, and say, look, there has to be a way found to expedite this, the building of more houses.
I mean, it may not be a not relevant issue, the outer bypass, because I know a lot of claims are that it is actually stalling up a lot of other developments in Galway. Could that be an issue here, that if we actually had put that off the table, that we could get on with a lot of these types of developments?
Well, I suppose from the plans that I have seen, The outer bypass, the ring road, is not impacting on the Ardwan area. Okay. It's coming out from the Briarhill area, but whereas Ardwan
is it impacting where they might build a new wastewater treatment plant or extend to other ones, etc.?
Yeah, I suppose, but I haven't seen any plans yet or even talk about any site for a new wastewater treatment plant.
Okay.
And like, if we're going to extend out to the Oranmore, Clare Galway area, I think the east side of the city is the place to build one of those.
Mm.
I mean, that would take the pressure off Mutton Island then, which could serve the east side of the city as well.
Okay.
And recently in Berna, like I knew that the treatment plant in Berna is under pressure as well.
Okay. We have reached out to Uisce Éireann for a response this morning, and we're awaiting a response, and we'll read that out if we do get it before the end of the programme.
Mm.
But in terms of your colleagues in government as well, Councillor Larkin, I mean, you know, Uisce Éireann is under pressure as it is at the moment, and to keep it ticking along, you mentioned the rebrand and all that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of fires to put out, if you pardon the pun there.
Yeah, I guess so. But do you know, it's always the case, though, John, when there's a problem, and if it's a really serious problem, there is a solution found. And mm-hmm. I really think, like, you know, if you look at the what was going on in the Limerick Hospital, they really put a task force together now to put that in. I think with the housing situation, there needs to be some sort of a task force that has the power to make decisions,
yeah,
and just get through all this. I don't know what you call it, the stumbling blocks that are put in our way. A bureaucracy is,
yeah,
right. It beggars belief, like, that we have, I think it's 3,700 families on our housing list, and mm. we cannot house them here in Galway, and we don't seem to even have plans together of where we're going to build those houses, mm. how we're going to get this done over the next 5 years. I mean, the planning has to start now, and mm. it needs to be push through the system very, very quickly. Otherwise, as I said in my notes there, all our young people, all our young, well-educated people are going to be leaving for foreign shores.
Yeah.
And like, we were trying to stop this for years. We have a great country. We have everything in place. We should have houses for everybody. Affordable houses that young couples can get into. And like I said there as well, like, you know, mm. I mean, a young couple who maybe have a site left to them on a farm, or that they're not even allowed to build on it because there's no infrastructure in place, and they're asked to move into the towns and that. And I really think that the infrastructure isn't even in the towns there now.
Have you yourself reached out to Uisce Éireann for a response on this, or even the department in this regard
emailed Uisce Éireann, and I didn't get a response from it.
And what about the department?
I didn't do the department, but
okay.
I will.
Okay. Let us know how you get on with that. Just before you came on air, I was speaking with John Lannan of Durris in relation to the whole migration situation. I don't know if you heard what he was saying, but what have you made of the unfolding situation over the past few days?
Yeah. My God, when you look at the television last night and you see the lines of tents down along the streets in Dublin, the first thought that I got, like I said, when is this going to come to Galway? But do you know what? It's here already. Like, there are people living in tents in secluded areas that people don't see, you know, in one of my recent articles there, I said, oh, please stop bringing people in until we're able to cater for the ones that are here already. And I'm not being racist, and I like I said, every Irish person wants to reach out and help anybody that they can, but my God, we don't have the facilities now to cater for anymore. And like, we have an open border between the Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland now.
Mm.
And there's physically no way of stopping more and more people coming in. And like, when you see the lines of tents, and the people who are trying to help those at night, and that they're saying they don't even know how many people are living in those tents.
Mm. What would you say to people that would accuse you of being populist in this regard? It's a very popular thing to say, to be anti,
I know,
people coming in and sleeping in tents.
I guess you'll get that anyway, you know. I suppose I was never, some of the comments that I made in the past wouldn't have made me too popular, but I don't know which is the best. Stop people coming in because we don't have the facilities for them, or keep allowing them to come in and let them pile up on the streets and we still don't have the place for them.
Government are starting to act, though. They brought in that emergency laws yesterday. They're tackling that situation outside the IPO offices. And there's plans in the offing for a number of big centres to house asylum seekers and refugees in the next 12. So they are acting, but are you happy with the level of progress you're seeing in a relatively short amount of time?
Do you know, John, there's a place in Salt Hill there that for the asylum seekers, and it was supposed to be in a short-term place for people to stay, and that's nearly 30 years old. Like, there have been kids born there, and they've gone through college, and they're out on their own now. Will the same thing happen with those centres if they open them? Like, you know, what's going to happen if some of those asylum seekers are housed in those big centres? Where are they going to go after that? If we don't have the capacity to build more houses, it's just not going to happen. And
it's not mutually exclusive, though. We can build houses and do all those things you're saying we're lacking resources. We can do all those and also look after our international obligations in terms of housing asylum seekers.
Yeah, no doubt we can and should be. But we're only a small nation. We're only 4.5 million people.
We're very sparsely populated as well, so probably an ideal place to house people.
In the west of Ireland, for sure. Yeah. But, you know, like, I don't know what the solution is. We have to be able to build more houses. We have to be able to build those centres. You know, the government were very quick to say in recent times, okay, we're going to allow people in from the Ukraine. We'll house them for 90 days. After that, you must get out and find your own accommodation. There is no accommodation out there. Or even our local people can't find accommodation for themselves, and they're living at home with their parents. Where is somebody from the Ukraine supposed to get out and find accommodation for themselves? It beggars belief that is happening or allowed to happen. I don't know. My opinion would be, please stop letting people in until we have what we have inside here,
we can't do that legally.
There has to be some way. I mean, France...
We'll be in breach of international law if we do that. And European law.
France has said no for a lot. Like, they haven't the same percentage of what we have brought in. So how does France allow to say no?
We're not enforcing the rules we have here at the moment is a lot of the problem that people are raising. But look, it's a bigger issue. We'll have to come back to it another day.
The secondary movement, I suppose, John, from the UK, like, is going to be a major, major problem.
Yeah.
And if that secondary movement is allowed to come in, is allowed to continue, we're going to have a bigger problem on our hands in the next month.
Councillor Noel Larkin of Independent Ireland, thank you for joining us on Galway Talks. Chuck Tanous, Aaron Glor, and Yov, no, Las Cunyal de Foshi Gaza, Suspijail.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Drive happy in Windsor Motor Mall, Galway, with hundreds of used cars to suit your budget.
Good morning, you're welcome into Galway Talks with John Morey. We're looking at an event that's happening in Spittal, and to discuss this, I'm joined by Andrew the Butler. Andrew, Majinwa, Inishtam Fui on Ocod Show.
Majinwa, John, Gurmila Math, as up in Curateek, there are Clower. It's Ócáid actually tarlu fod na tíra tá trúca sé Ócáidí an seo an éireann agus tá péire sna stát éinte. So tá actually níos gura go tain má tá sima tá cénig tarlu sa Spanish Arch ag an ní clog. Ach sér tá gest an seo ná gélar son Gaza. So is agri opdésin ar fod na tíra tosíwe ag gailtuk na jéise so in Port Láriga. August Thomas Zagira Erdini Fudna Heron Quinyal Alasa in almost the Hulagasar or Wilheshiva Mariha Egg Stot Nahisrade in Gaza. And Tasatain, like we're looking at 14,000 children now have been murdered for Namsha. August Tashashinagar, the Quilala, you were just talking there, you mentioned, or maybe it was this morning or yesterday, talking about Rafa and the tents that are under bombardment there. You know, it's tasha really scandal. So I'm a Zagiri got Tukadini Lakela, Mar Fubble, August Galas and Woods Nakwindal.
And we were speaking with Anya from Gaelos and Gaza, Nis Lua, but yourselves in Spittal, talk to us about what's happening there and why you decided to get involved with this.
Yeah, so we've a local community group out in Connemara. We're called Cardis Palestine Connemara. And we organise solidarity events. So we get the community together around concerts and small protests and public meetings to spread information. And the lads in Port Láirge in Gaeltacht na Rinne sent us an email and asked if we would have any sim in doing this kind of event. And one of our members took that on, Bertie O'Hanvra, and we're going to be meeting this evening at 9:30 at the Children's Park in Cloche de Connacht, which is just the Galway side of Spittle. And we're meeting there, you know, because there's no, it's an appropriate place to honour the children that have been murdered, you know.
Is it fair to say that there's a lot of solidarity with Irish-speaking regions here in Ireland with the Palestinian community because of that sort of shared history and shared struggle?
Good, Devin. Yeah, absolutely. I was just saying this. We had an event on Saturday and we had a fundraising gig on for Gaza. We have a friend over there, Dr. Ahmed Al-Ajar. We were raising money for him and... we're just saying it came up a couple of times on the gig that, like, it's in our bones here in Ireland. It's in our connection to the land. It's in our connection to our people here. A shared history of colonization and oppression from imperialist forces. You know, like, we had 800 years of oppression from the British, and we went through a genocide of our own in the Gort de Mór and the famine. That's really deep within the Irish people. And I think that's why we have such an instinct to solidarity, you know, with people who are oppressed all around the world, not only in Palestine.
And I know you've been very busy in Corgis, Felishtine, because you had an event at the weekend as well, and you've had numerous events over the past while.
We have, yeah. It's been fantastic. It's kind of like we're reminding each other that change comes from below. You know, this is the way it's always been. Ordinary people have power to change the world. And when we come together in communities, in any kind of community organizing right across the country, and you're seeing this with the growth in the movement, and you're seeing it especially in the US with these students that are doing the encampments on the colleges, like, it's really inspiring, and we can inspire each other. And whatever about Noel Larkin and what he was saying there about people coming in, you know, I think there's plenty of room in this country for everyone. And I think you alluded to that as well. But, you know, in that context of the elections, and we're looking to elected councillors and all the rest, we're understanding now through our community organising that we have the power to make this change ourselves, you know. So that's through all of the community organising and building these sort of BDS campaigns and all the rest, where, yeah, we're starting to realise we're not, as Malcolm X would say, we're not outnumbered, we're just out organised, you know, so we're kind of reminding each other as we go along.
Mm. That metal approach that people are taking, is there an element of disillusion with politics and with the current local and national and European governments of the day in actually tackling issues like this and like the conflict in the Middle East?
Yeah, that's a great question, John. Like, there's a great phrase I'd often use now, Oscar, and I'd be talking, Ni cahan an caint an taidhc. The talk doesn't wear the clothes. And we kind of see that with politicians in this country and in the EU as well. It's been all talk for the last 7 months of a genocide that's happening live streamed on our phone, and how quick they were to take action when Russia invaded Ukraine, and rightly so. But, you know, what's different now is that the US empire is wrapped up in supporting the genocide against the Palestinians. So that's sort of, we're challenging that empire. So I think the disillusionment is definitely there, in that people realise that this old world, this old way of doing politics is dying out, and there's a vacuum there. And unfortunately, that vacuum, to some degree, it's being filled by the likes of Independent Ireland and this kind of fear-mongering, you know?
In fairness to them, there's no one from them here to defend themselves, but they will say they are reacting to what concerns have been brought to them by members of the public, etc. But in terms of the whole situation, what would you like to see government do in this regard in relation to the Israel-Palestine situation?
Sanctions. Immediate sanctions on Israel. So to enact the Occupied Territories Bill, which has been sitting in front of the Dáil for how many years now, it's kind of hard to keep track of it. And then we have the Illegal Settlements, the Illegal Israeli Settlements Bill. So they're two very practical measures that the government can take, that we would review our trade with Israel and to not be actively complicit in this genocide. And then another glaring example of our complicity in the genocide is the US military's unfettered use of Shannon Airport. The bare minimum that we can do there, and this is what we're asking the Department of Transport and the Department of Foreign Affairs, both Micheál Martin and Eamon Ryan, is to check the planes. There's no checks done on any of these military planes coming through. So not only do, like, we obviously want the US military out of Shannon Airport, but as a stepping stone, the least we could do is check these planes. So yeah, there's some practical things. And then obviously on the level that we're at, John, BDS, you know, this is what we're asking ordinary people to do. And it's something we can all do, is to boycott and to, the likes of AXA and Leah Healthcare, you know, like,
let's not go that route with it, if you don't mind, Andrew. But in terms of the situation, and you mentioned the airplanes landing in Shannon, and you've also mentioned about boycotting Israel, etc. Do you accept that that's an uncomfortable position for the government? If we look at the US, they're one of our closest friends and allies, one of a huge export market for us, and we obviously have that special relationship as seen on St. Patrick's Day. And then on the side of Israel, there's an uncomfortability there in terms of Israel's own history, the Holocaust and that legacy, and not to be seen to be, I suppose, for want of a better word, going down the sectarian route there.
I think that's maybe an unhelpful framing in terms of...
It's how many people are framing it.
It is, yeah, but it's often used as a deflection away from what solidarity politics is about, right? Because we're asking for what the Palestinians are demanding, right? And this is... Within the BDS movement, we take the demands from the leadership of the National Committee who are in Palestine. We actually were lucky enough to have Saleh Hijazi, one of the members of that committee, in Galway not so long ago. And the demands they have are very, very simple. And they kind of fly in the face of the framing of what you're talking about there, because the Palestinians are demanding equal human rights. They're demanding a return to the land that was rightfully theirs from 1948. And they're demanding an end to the illegal settlements, which are illegal under international law. And that ruling was passed in the International Criminal Court as far back as 2004, 2005. So the US and Israel aren't following any sort of international law right now. So I think what I'm saying, the problem with that framing is, it's kind of like we're saying the whole, we are being anti-Semitic by criticising Israel, which we come across a lot in the movement, right? But it's kind of just deflecting really from what the real issue is, and it's that there has been no accountability for the numerous crimes that have been committed by the Israeli state over the last 76 years.
Would you accept that they're acting in a paranoid state because they're trying to guarantee their own salvation? I don't agree with the way they're doing it, but they are trying to safeguard their own state and their own sense of being there, because they're getting it on all sides. If you look at Hezbollah, the Houthis, you know, Iran, the wider region, they have very little friends in the Middle East to Israel.
I think they have the biggest friend in the Middle East, and that's been the occupying force of the US military. These kind of questions, it's important to discuss them, but like when we really grounded in what's been going on in the last 6 months, it's abhorrent. It's beyond anything we've seen before. the level of destruction, the level of disregard for human life. They've bombed hospitals indiscriminately. They're currently bombing tents, refugee camps.
Mm.
People who have absolutely no defense at all. The mind absolutely boggles. What we need is for the US to pull out and to call an immediate ceasefire. And that's coming from all levels there. People understand that the US have the power to be able to pull this out. So,
I know there's talks underway at the moment. Do you have hopes for those, or do you think they're kind of just for show?
I'd have hoped that there could be a temporary ceasefire call there. But it's really on the international community to row in here, you know. It's clear, looking at this picture in a global sense, looking at this movement, that, you know, the change is coming.
Mm. Andrew...
And we're well on our way to that change. So I think it's about time that governments start to reflect the will of the people and the will of the movements across the world.
Yeah. Andrew de Butler of Corgis Fellowship in Connemara. Cain thal mabai shiv eg tosu anyov?
Bain with the tosnu eg a lahar treshani a close spree on Spidil. And as I was saying as well, for anyone listening, we'll also be meeting with the Galway Palestine Solidarity Campaign at 9 p.m. at the Spanish Arch as well.
All right. Andrew de Butler, thank you for joining us on Galway Talks.
Gramil ma, John.
Still to come before 11 o'clock, are you a young aspiring DJ or do you know one? We have information of a great event next.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway and get a free 3-year warranty on hundreds of used cars.
Good morning, you're listening to Galway Talks with John Moore. If you want to get a comment into us, do so straight away to our text and WhatsApp line. That's 086-38-3353. You can phone Siobhan or reception on 091-77-0077 and email comments at galwaybayfm.ie. I have just got a notice into me that Ishka Aaron will hopefully be back to us with a reply to Councillor Noel Larkin just before 12 noon. So we'll give you that reply as soon as we get it. Some other comments coming in this morning. John, Councillor Larkin is fully aware that the Ring Road cannot go ahead as it's breaking EU law. The public should not be fooled by politicians pushing for this road. Emissions in our city are way too high and we cannot build this road in the city. And another listener says, there's evidence of an algal bloom in the bay during the last day or two. Samples should be taken to identify the species to ensure it's not a risk to water users. Another listener says, a lot of houses could have been built with the €83 million wasted buying Crown Square. And another listener says, Councillor Larkin speaks the truth. Government needs to listen to us all. So if you want to have your say, do so straight away. Now, though, I want to move on to a lovely initiative that's happening here in Galway City, because Galway teens aged 16 to 18 are invited to explore their musical creativity with Beats and Beyond, which is a free DJ workshop series led by the renowned DJ Laura O'Connell. And she joins me now. Laura, good morning.
Hi, good morning, John.
Talk to us about this initiative. Great idea to get young people involved in DJing and music.
Yeah, so I guess just to give you a little bit of background about the initiative, it's part of a pilot program called Crinu Lates, which is being piloted by Galway City Council, and it is specifically designed for young people aged 14 to 18. So Galway City Council is currently developing a nighttime economy plan, and this kind of came out of this. So the Crinu Lates program was inspired by workshops that were led by the Department in Tourism, Culture, Arts, Gaeltacht, Sport and Media, where young people shared ideas about how to make the nighttime scene better for them.
Okay, so what will they actually be learning? Is it types of music, how to run desks, or what exactly are they learning in these workshops?
Yeah, so I guess for the workshop series, it's going to be 6 workshops. And during that, they'll learn the fundamentals of DJing. So they'll learn about all the different types of equipment that's out there that you can use, different types of software, how to build playlists, how to build a set. And then they'll also learn the basics of mixing tracks and making a set, because at the end of the workshop series, there's actually going to be a public performance as well. That's going to be for 14 to 18 year olds.
I think it's great that this is a free initiative for young people to get involved and get a taste for it. If they were to pursue it themselves afterwards, I know there's a lot of cost involved in terms of getting the equipment and moving it along in a professional way.
Yeah, I guess, what I'd like to cover in the workshops would be that there are ways to go about it that does have to be totally, that isn't going to break the bank. So, there's software out there that's free to use. There's also cheap controllers before you decide to take that step into buying the really expensive equipment. So I guess it's just to, make them aware of the different options that are out there that's available to them.
And there's the side of the music and the enjoyment and the atmosphere, but it's a great confidence builder as well to be able to stand up in front of people. It's a performance in many ways, DJing.
Yeah, it definitely is. And it will be a chance for people to meet new people, make new friends, and also the public performance at the end is definitely going to, boost people's confidence and get them used to that whole performance aspect of DJing as well.
Yeah, talk to us about that aspect of it, the public performance. What does that look like?
We'll be announcing information on that later, but it will be taking place in a city centre location, and it'll happen on Cruinniú na n-Óg, which is a national day of free creativity for people under 18. So this event in particular will be geared towards 14 to 18 year olds.
Okay, the six workshops, they're between 5 and 7 in the evening on May the 9th, 16th, 21st, 30th, June the 6th and 11th, and the showcase is on the 15th of June. If people want to get involved, so I know the deadline of expression of interest is this Monday coming.
That's right. So if you'd like to get involved, you can just go to www.goacity and latest news, and basically there is an expression of interest portal there, so you can go to that, and it doesn't matter if you've had any DJ experience in the past, this is completely geared towards beginners and just really people who have an interest in music.
I love that you're giving back as well, Laura O'Connell, and I know you're from Rahoon, so tell us about your journey into the DJing world.
Yeah, I guess, I've been DJing since 2015, so I guess my journey there, I always had a passion for music and interest in music, and I started running events in Galway in 2012-2013, and at the time there wasn't really that many women involved in DJing, so I guess I took that leap once I gained more confidence myself to get into it, and that's how I ended up being a DJ.
And the type of music involved here, electronic type of music, just give us a flavour of what sort of stuff you would be playing.
Yeah, I guess I play a mix of electronic music, so that would be in a house, electro, techno, so stuff with not very many words, more focused on the beats.
Right, yeah. And I know you're a passionate advocate for inclusivity as well. Talk to me about the Gash Collective, which you're a co-founder of.
So I started Gash Collective in 2016 with my friend Ellen King. And we have been running workshops, free workshops around Ireland since then. They're usually one day or a couple of hours, but they're very DIY based. Just we try and make them as accessible as possible to people, because I know the barriers into entry for DJing for a lot of people can come down to cost or not have. Yeah, so we've been doing that since 2016. So free workshops. We also run events, and we also have a radio show. And so quite busy with that.
It's a nice initiative as well, because it supports both female, trans, queer, non-binary, and other underrepresented groups. So it's nice because a lot of them are small communities, and to give them a platform and an outlet as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's really important that that we provide opportunities for minority groups, because a lot of the time clubs and events and things can be still quite male focused, so it's important that we platform people who might not always get the opportunity otherwise.
Mm. And I actually had Monique Griffith, the CEO of Belong To, on earlier in the programme, and it was to do with a report they had about mental health. And among the LGBTIQ plus community, it has deteriorated since 2016. And she cited particularly the trans community as well. Is that something that you're conscious of to support those most vulnerable?
Yeah, that's definitely a part of it. And I guess with any of our workshops, we try and create them to be safe spaces where people come and feel free to be who they are, and same with our events as well. Mm-hmm. That's one of our priorities. So I'm hoping I can transfer my skills from doing that over into these workshops for young people as well.
Good. And we also founded Bounce, an accessible club night for people of all abilities. That's a lovely initiative as well.
Yeah, so I founded that with the Brothers of Charity Services Ireland, and That's Life. So we started that in 2017, and we run it once a month in the Roisin Dubh, and all the DJs have an intellectual disability, so they've been training with me since 2015, 2016.
I think I might have come across a few of them in the likes of the Blue Teapot, etc.
Yeah, that's
very,
right.
Very talented and boisterous characters involved there.
Yeah, so that night has gone from strength to strength. I mean, people just show up now. We don't even have to.
No advertising costs. but now DJing in Galway City nowadays, I know the nighttime economy in Galway, it's really gathered legs in the last few weeks and months in terms of the nightclubs reopening. It's an exciting time in the city.
Yeah, definitely. We've seen Electric reopen and Cuba as well. So, and then there's also events running in the Commercial Boat Club. And yeah, it's really kind of ramped up in the past few months in particular, and it's great to see. I mean, there's a really strong appetite out there for that. I know both those new clubs have been packed out since they've reopened. It's brilliant to see.
And you can actually see the increase of interest for this type of music as well, whether that be in festivals exclusively for it and the different nighttime scenes which are hopping.
Yeah, no, for sure. There's definitely electronic music has gained in popularity in the past few years, and yeah, you can see like Electric Picnic have big stages dedicated towards that type of stuff, and just festivals itself geared towards it.
And are you doing much DJing around the city at present yourself, Laura?
Yeah, I'm doing a bit, all right, yeah.
Where can we see you?
So you can catch me in Electric this Sunday. I'll be on support for a DJ from Scotland called Eclair Fifi, so we're really excited to have her over.
We've seen the scenes of Electric over the past few weeks since the reopening. It's been crazy, but great to see that the life is in the city again.
Yeah, it's really added that vibrancy and excitement back into the city.
Because it must have been a tough time for you during the likes of COVID and that, when, or was there virtual DJ sessions, or how did you get past that?
Yeah, I guess there was like some virtual DJ sessions, and yeah, I guess you're just kind of reduced to that online world. So yeah, no, it's good. Like, and ever since things started opening up again, I really noticed in Galway there really was that appetite back again in the scene, and just seeing clubs and parties packed out.
Mm. It's called Beats and Beyond. Learn to DJ with renowned DJ Laura O'Connell. If people want to get their teens involved, it's, you know, 16 to 18 is the age bracket, and the deadline is this coming Monday. So what's your final call to action, Laura?
Yeah, I just, you know, come try it out. Doesn't matter if you have any experiences. Promise it will be fun. And just as well, I just want to say a big thanks to Galway City Council, Creative Ireland, Cringing and Oak, and the department for supporting this new programme.
Yeah, it's a great initiative. DJ Laura O'Connell, thank you for joining us on Galway Talks. Still to come on the programme today, we have an awful lot to get through. We have financial advice with Dave McCarthy of McCarthy and Associates of Woodkey. As well as that, we're looking at well-being and a mental health campaign by Mark Wilder of Wilder Wellbeings. And History Talks, a very interesting subject today. Dr. John Cunningham joins us as the book has been launched, Spirit of Revolution, Ireland from 1917 to 23. And it's a book by John Cunningham and Terry Dunn. So very, very interesting book. And it's actually being launched as well in Charlie Burns Bookshop today. And that more details on that a little later on in the programme as well. If you want to get involved, do so straight away to our text and WhatsApp number. That's 086-3833-553. You can phone Siobhan on reception on 091-77-0077 and email comments at goibayfm.ie. Some other announcements for you. Each Thursday on Galway Talks at 11:30, I present Ars to Protect, highlighting how we can work together to protect the environment. And tomorrow, I speak to Nicola Conley, who is the founder of Nunaya, about a regenerative business model. For more information, go over to goibayfm.ie, click on Ars to Protect image on the homepage, and you can try out the ecological footprint calculator. Ars to Protect is brought to you by Galway Bay FM, the IBI, and funded by Commission Na Mban with the television licence fee. Check out arsprotect.ie for more information there. Now, a very exciting one. The Community Matters series is visiting communities across Galway City and County, and this Friday is the turn of Clifton, where we'll be broadcasting live from the Woodfield Hotel. If you have a story to tell, let us know by contacting comments at goibayfm.ie and come to our live broadcast in Clifton from the Woodfield Hotel, where we'll highlight the issues that matter to you between 9 and 12 o'clock this Friday, the 3rd of May. The Community Matters series is brought to you by Galway Bay FM and is funded by Commission Na Mban. And I can tell you, we already have a big lineup of people soon to be revealed, the likes of Brendan O'Scannell. We look at the Clifton Arts Festival with Dr. Brendan Flynn and Des Lally, some of the directors of it. We also have a look at history in the area. Kathleen Villiers-Tuhill joins us. So too does Michael Gibbons on the archaeology side of Clifton. And we have some great local organisations, the likes of Forum Connemara. In terms of sport, we have some great GEA and rugby sports stars joining us, trying to finalise one or two more of those. We have delightful music from the likes of the local Cultus branch. Marie Welsh joins us from them, as well as some of her students. And we finish up the day by talking to some more legends of the town, the likes of Tony Coyne and others. So that's how Clifton is looking at this point in time. If you want to get involved, if you want to join us in the Woodfield Hotel on Friday morning, do so. And if you want to come on air, give us a phone straight away to 091-77-0077. Email comments at goibayfm.ie and even text and WhatsApp us in on 086-3833-553, because we'd love to hear from you and get you involved. If there's any other issues in the Clifton area that you'd like us to highlight, please let us know. We also have a lovely charity fundraiser and a personal story to go along with it. So please do get involved if you have any other issues you want to raise in Clifton. We're also looking at a very interesting survey in relation to housing in the area, and we'll give you more details on that on Friday morning as well. Another listener texts into us this morning. Hi, could you please play a special request for Keith Finnegan for his dedicated 34 years of service to all the listeners, as it is the 1st of May. And could you please play a lovely song for Keith, and just to let him know that we're thinking of him and wishing him well in his well-deserved retirement. Thank you very much. Kindest regards comes in from Nora. We are all thinking of him as well. I'm in regular contact with Keith, and I must say he is enjoying the early days of his retirement as well, and we're keeping in contact with him. So thanks indeed for that lovely request in from Nora this morning. If you want to get involved, we'll be back with you right after news and debt notices. Good morning.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Find hundreds of used cars to suit your budget in Windsor Motor Mall Galway, located on the Monavay Road.